for the first Ramban on Parsha Shemot. We have a new Sefer. Got a fantastic new grouping of Rambans. So let's go through what we have here in Sefer Shemot in specific. The Ramban I wanted to start off with this week. Last year, I think we covered like five or six Rambans, but I wanted to cover two in specific this week, ones that we didn't touch on last year. And the first one is in Parag Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. This is when Hashem and Moshe are arguing it out. And Hashem says to Moshe, don't worry, the people are going to listen to you. You're going to tell them the following message. You're going to say that I sent you, and they'll listen. They're going to believe you. So, v'shamu l'kolecha, and they'll listen to your words. Okay, so now why is that? So, the Ramban, as he often does, starts off by quoting Rashi. Me'alehen, they're going to listen, like, by their own. Mikevan shetomar lehem lashom zeh miyad yishmu l'kolecha. Once you use this language, the code words that I tell you to say, of pakod yifkod, right, that Hashem is saying that I've come to redeem you, that I will surely redeem you, I'll remember you, so then they're going to listen to you immediately. Why? Like, what's so, like, you know, key about those words that it's going to cause them to listen? Rashi goes on to say, Shekvar simen zeh masor b'yadam Yaakov v'Yosef. That already this simen has been passed on in their hands from Yaakov and Yosef. Shebalashon hazeh nigalin. And in this very language of pakod yifkod, that Hashem is going to redeem them. Through this they will be redeemed. Yaakov amar lahem, Yaakov says to them, Velokim pakod yifkod eschem. And Bereishis Nun Chav Dalet. Right over there, Pasuk says that Hashem will redeem you. Yosef Amar Lehem, Yosef says to them, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem. So, Hashem will redeem you. Lashon Rashi. This is all a quote from Rashi. So the words of the Ramban say, Pasuk says, Moshe is reassured by Hashem. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. The people are going to believe you. The leaders of the Israel are going to believe you. Why? Rashi explains. After all, Hashem just told him to say the magic words of Pakod Yifkod. And then, or like Pakod Pakadati, right? But the same idea, right? Though that double language of Pakad, of that I remembered. So after Moshe's been told this secret code word, don't worry, you're going to tell this to the Zakenu of the Nesra, and they're for sure going to listen. All right. Now, first of all, where's Rashi coming from? So Rashi quoted these psukim, right? Rashi said, Velokim Pakod Yifkod Eschem. That's Bereishis Nun Chav Dalet. And then he says afterwards, and that was Yaakov talking, apparently. And then Yosef says, Pakod Yifkod Elkim Eschem. So that's the very next pasuk there. Nun chav dal, and then nun chav hey. But if you look at those psukim guys, it's not Yaakov talking. Both of those are Yosef. Both of those are Yosef. The first one is Yosef saying, when I leave, you know, take me up with you. And the second one is, and then Yosef swore to, made his brother swear that they would take him up. So both of them are Yosef. Like, what's Rashi talking about? What do you mean it was Yaakov who said it? So now, the Ramban's sensitive to that issue when he says the following: Ula yidrosh harav ki Yosef amar amayim pakod yifkod. Maybe the Ramban is saying that Rashi was sensitive to the fact that the pasuk says two times in a row, one pasuk in chav dalet, the very next pasuk chav hey, Yosef says twice pakod yifkod. Why is Yosef using that same language? Not only is it itself a double language, right? Pakod yifkod instead of yifkod, right? Why is it itself a double language? But he doubles up that double language. Right? He says the word pakad four times in those two sentences. Lahagid shahayusim mitzores biyado me'avim. That Yosef was indicating to us, or the Torah is indicating to us, and Rashi is sensitive to this in the text, that from the fact that the pasuk stresses pakod yifkod, and then the very next pasuk again stresses pakod yifkod, it's not just that Yosef was saying this on his own, as much as Yosef was hinting to his brothers that this wasn't just his own idea. It was a mesora he had from Yaakov Avinu, his father, that this was how they were going to be redeemed, that the Redeemer is going to come and say these magic words of pakod yifkod. And that's where Rashi got in the psukim. And the Ramban now backs this up. He brings a medrash. Ve'ela Shmos Rabba, we learned in Shmos Rabba, miyad v'shamu l'kolecha, lama. They'll listen to your words immediately. Why is that true? Shemesoras geula hi biyadam, that they had this mesora about the geula in their hands. Shekol goel shavo v'yomar lahem pekida kfula, any goel that comes to them that says this double language, a pakod twice, hu goel shel emes, that's a true redeemer. Ze'ela shonam v'agadazu. So that's their explanation. Okay, so what's pshat? Again, Rashi picking up on the double language over there, a pakod yifkod, being used twice by Yosef. Must have been that it was a mesorah Yosef had from his father, and Yosef was telling him, when you guys are redeemed with these words, that means the guy is going to be a true, honest redeemer. He's not some charlatan. You know, unfortunately, in our history, we've had a few false messiahs before. Sometimes people that even Gedolim thought were the messiah, they thought they were Mashiach until they realized that it was wrong. So how did the B'nai Yisrael know that they were going to have a false Mashiach here? Because the guy would use these words. That's what Rashi's telling us. What in our pasuk triggered this? Because Hashem tells him, say these magic words of Pakod Yifkod, And then Hashem says, and they're for sure going to listen to you. So, like, it's also not just coming from the Yaakov Yosef location, but even from our location over here. Hashem says, say these words, the same words that we, sensitive to the text, realize were the same words that Yosef had said you're going to be redeemed with. And then Hashem says, oh, and they'll listen to you. Okay, great, so we have the facts on the ground. Moshe is going to use the magic words. The Bnei Israel are going to listen right away. Wonderful. The Ramban says, but I have a kasha. Minayin lahem sheyaminu. Why would they believe? Shema shama Moshe the Mesoras hazos kamosam. Maybe Moshe had equally heard about the same Mesorah. Think about it. There's this well-known idea that the Redeemer, the true Redeemer, is going to come and say a language of Hashem has told me that he's come. Bakod bakadathias Bnei Israel. I've remembered the Bnei Israel. I'm going to redeem them. And that, with that, you'll know he's the true Redeemer. What do you think is going to happen? Everybody who's a fake Redeemer is also going to use those words. So why would the Bnei Israel believe Moshe any more than anybody else? So Moshe comes and he says, the special, you know, the secret password. Yeah, but it's not a secret password if like this was like a Masorah everybody knew. Right? Moshe's just going to come in there and say the words. So now you can't trust him. Why would they possibly believe him? Hashem's like, use these words, they'll believe you. Because after all, they all know that if the real Redeemer is going to use these words. Yeah, fine. But then why would they actually believe him? Because even if he's not the real Redeemer, he knows that the real Redeemer is going to use these words.
Also,
you know,
on top of that, Aaron's even saying it. It's not Moshe. Moshe didn't even say it. Aaron's telling him, right?
In the beginning it could have been Moshe. When Moshe was talking to Aaron, with his brothers, Moshe used Aaron more to speak to Paro. I think that Moshe himself, when he spoke to the members of Klal Yisrael, probably was speaking on his own. But you're right. Maybe Aaron did it so. Even so, Moshe and Aaron are like a unit. I hear your question, Ari, but I think that either way, even if what you're saying is true, they still go together. And they were the real Redeemers. But why would anyone believe that they're the real Redeemers? You know, anybody could have said this. You know, it reminded me of Medrash, that they said that when Shmuel HaNavi was born, there was like a bas kol that had gone out, that anyone who names their kid Shmuel this year, or not anyone who names their kids, that there's going to be a Shmuel born this year who's going to be the Gadol Hador, who's going to be the leader of the generation. And, like, everybody names their kid Shmuel that year. You know, that was, like, the popular name, right? Because, like, if you know that that guy's going to be the Redeemer, it doesn't mean your kid's going to be the Redeemer then. It doesn't mean your kid's going to become the Gadol Hador. Just, we know the Gadol Hador's name will be Shmuel. Or, comparably here, we know the Redeemer, the Mashiach of that time, is going to use the words of Pakod Yifkod Hashem. So, why would they believe him, actually? So the Ramban gives two answers to this question. Number one, V'yesh lomar, kach kiblu mi Yosef, sheshama mi pia navi avia. This is what they heard from Yosef, who heard it from the Navi, their father. Sheharishon sheyavo v'yomar lahem b'lashon hazeh, hu yeh ha-goel osam. That the first one to come and use this language will be a redeemer. Galoi v'yadua lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shelo yavo adam v'yichazev b'hem, b'kach hifticham. You're right. If it was merely that the Redeemer is going to use these words, they would never have known. Because why would they believe Moshe? Maybe anybody could have come and said this. But no, the Mesorah was actually more complex. The Mesorah was that whoever comes first and uses these words is going to be the real Redeemer. Okay, maybe somebody else is going to be a fake Mashiach and will come first and will say this. No. The Nevuah was, the Mesorah from Yaakov Avinu was, don't worry. You know, Hashem can manage to take care of the world. So there's going to be a false guy who's going to get up there, who's some charlatan who's going to pretend. Oh, yeah, Hashem said you should follow after me. He's not going to be able to use these words. Hashem's either going to prevent him in some way. Hashem will never let him get up there in the first place. Hashem's going to take care of it. Don't worry. So that's one answer. It's just a little bit of a dochek answer. Like, really? Like, it just seems strange. But you know what? Maybe it just sounds dochek to us because we're not used to realizing that Hashem controls the entire world. And if Hashem wants it to be, then everybody can know that the guy who says these words is the Redeemer. So why don't people just get up there and say these words? Because Hashem's not going to let them. Just go ahead. You just try it and see if it works. So that's answer number one. Why would the Bnei Israel believe Moshe when he used these words? Because the Mesorah wasn't just that he'll use these words, it's that the first guy to use these words will be the right Redeemer. That's answer one. But the Ramban has his own pshat then afterwards, which he says the following. Avamakum acher matzatzi sham, but now he brings from Shmos Rabba, Amar Bichama Rabbi Chanina, ben shteim esrei nitlosh Moshe veis avin. Moshe was 12 years old when he left his father's house. I mean, I know you guys are probably thinking, like, he was never in his father's house. Wasn't he, like, raised by Baas Paro? Yeah, but there was still some sort of interaction that gave Moshe his core Jewish identity between his father, the Gadol Hador, Amram, right, a person who never sinned before, and Yocheved, his mother, the great Tzedekes. So he still had interaction with them. However, that connection was cut off once he turned 12 years old. Lama, the Medrash asks, why was that true? She'ilu Gadol Beis Aviv Ubav Amar Lama Maisim, because if he were to grow up in his father's house, and they were going to come and tell them, you know, all the things that he was supposed to. Lo, you might mean him, but they would never have believed him. Shall you omrim aviv mastram lo? because they would say that his father, Amram, the god of Ador, had given it over to him. Why? Levisha Yosef Masra Lelevi, Levi Lekhas, Vekhas Amram. That Yosef passed on this Mesorah to Levi, who gave it to Kahas, who gave it to his son, in turn, Amram. Lekach Nin Lashmi Beisav. And therefore, Moshe had to be separated from his father's house. And then when he came and he said all the things to Israel, the Fikach Amin Ulbo, Shneamar, Viamein Ha'am. And therefore, the people believed him. Vekavan Asam, the Ramban explains. Here's what they mean to say. She Yosef Masra Lelevi. It doesn't say Yosef gave it to all of Klal Yisrael. Just because me and you are reading this 3,000 years later, doesn't mean that everybody knew the Redeemer was going to come. There was this Mesorah that he was going to come and say, Pakod Yifkod. Rather, Yosef gave it specifically to one person, to Levi. Lomar, she Yaakov gila soto li Yosef, ba'avaso oso. That Yaakov told it over to Yosef out of his great love for him. Bo belashon hishbia Yosef la'achib kulam. And then Yosef used that language to swear to his brothers, to make his brothers swear to him that they would bring him up. Vigila Levi, and then he secretly whispered to Levi, you know that language I just used? Why did I say Pakod Yifkod? Why did I emphasize that? Amar Lahem, Kilashon Azem, Ibnei HaMesorah, Shebiyado, Me'aviv. So he told it to Levi, that because, top secret, confidential, the real Redeemer is going to use these words. And only Levi knew it. Yosef alone knew it from Yaakov. Levi alone knew it on Yosef's deathbed. And Levi passed it on, one man to one man, Levi to Kahas, Kahas to Amram. Vitziva Sheyeh Hadavar Sod. And not only that, Yosef made him promise to keep it a secret. Not that everyone should know it. Only the Gadol Hador knew it. So now this answers the Ramban's question beautifully. Why would the Bnei Yisrael believe Moshe? If everyone knew that the Redeemer is going to come and use the language of Pakod Yifkod, maybe some guy could just fake it. Low life off the street could get up there and say, oh, Hashem sent me to redeem you. There's no way he did. But he used the right words. Nobody knew the secret. Not necessarily having to rely on Hashem's, super direct hashkacha to prevent anybody from ever saying these words. Instead, a different answer is that, no, not everybody knew it. Only the Gadol Hador knew it. So then when Moshe came and said these words, and then suddenly the Ziknei Hador, maybe it was more than one, but very, very, very few, only Amram, or Amram wasn't alive at that point, Aaron, or the leaders of the Israel are like, oh, he said the key words. Then they said, yes, he's the real Redeemer. And look, if the Gadol Hador all believe him, then clearly that's reason to trust him. So that's the Ramban's second answer.
How did the Zakim know?
Whoever was the receiver of this tradition from man up until Yaakov, right? Only a select few. I'm saying a few. I'm adding a little bit. The Ramban makes it sound like it's only one. But I don't know who the person after Amram was before Moshe. There's somebody in that chain. So maybe there was a few leaders of the people, or maybe it was only one, who knew this secret. And as soon as Moshe got up there, he's like, that's it. I have a Mesorah. I have a Nevuah from Yaakov. He reveals the big secret to everybody. He's like, he's the real Redeemer at that moment. And at that point, there was a big spoiler alert, right? Then you're allowed it. There was a big reveal. He told everybody, and then everyone's like, wow, there was a Mesorah. They don't think he's lying. They had a Nevuah from, Yaakov Avinu. No one's going to think he's lying if he's the Gadol Hador. And therefore, they believe him, and they all therefore trusted Moshe. So that was the first Ramban I wanted to do tonight. The second one, I think, is really a super critical Ramban, not just in terms of how he analyzes the Tzlikim, but also how we can understand our own lives. Okay? The Pasuk tells us, Moshe is arguing again, back and forth with Hashem. And he says, gam mitmo, gam mil shoshom, gam mi'oz divrecha el avadecha. Right? That Rashi quote, he's quoting from Rashi. He says, Rashi says that all the 7 days that Moshe was sitting there, Hashem was trying to convince him to go and do the shlichus. So now, how do you get 7 days, right? And how do you get this to work out? So, mitmo, mil shoshom, ume'oz divrecha. Hari Shlosha. Those are three words. Yesterday, the day before, and since you started talking to me. So that's 3 days. Vishlosha gam in Rebuyan. And then the pasuk says gam 3 times. So each one of those comes to include another one. Hari Shisha, that's 6 days. By Omen Biyomashvi, and he was standing there on the 7th day. So for all 7 days, Rashi says, this is what the pasuk means. Hashem was trying to convince Moshe to go. Okay, the Ramban's like, all right, that's one pshat. But other pshat, though, the simple way to understand this is that Yomar Kiani Kaved Peg gam in Mo Gam Shoshom. Not that Hashem has been speaking to him for these past few days trying to convince him to go. But that's true. But what was Moshe saying in this pasuk? That yesterday, the day before, Kimin Urai Hayisi Kavid Peh. My whole life, ever since my youth, I've been hard of speech. I haven't been able to articulate things clearly. Af Ki Ata Ki Ani Zakin. And now, even when I'm old, my whole life, ever since I've been a kid up until my old age, I've not been able to speak normally. V'gam Mi'oz Derech Ayom Alav Decha. And now, ever since you began speaking to me, Kilo Hisiros Elohisi Rosa Kvedus Pi Betivasechosi Lelechas El Paro Ludaber Shmecha. And now Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, listen well, guys, listen well. He turns to Hashem and he says, and you know what, Hashem? You didn't heal me. If you really wanted me to go do this mission, and I'm complaining about the fact that, look, I can't do this. I'm not capable. I don't have the, you know, the ability to articulate things clearly. So Hashem, why didn't you heal me? Why didn't you heal me and say, okay, Moshe, snap, that's it, you're done, you're healed. Now you can speak beautifully. You have the most eloquent vocabulary as well as a clear, beautiful voice. So now you're fit to go. So Moshe turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, clearly you didn't heal me if v'imkein eich elich lefanav. So now how can I go and speak to Paro in your name? Doesn't make any sense. Now the Ramban's going to explain something that's very crucial. V'nei Moshe me'rov chepso shelo yelech lo hispalo lefanav yisparech shiyasir kvedas piv. And Moshe, out of his great desire not to go on this mission, didn't daven to Hashem that Hashem should remove this kvedas piv. Instead, he turned to Hashem and says, look, Hashem, after all, I'm not able to do this, and Hashem, look, how can you command me to go? I'm not capable. And after all, Hashem, you haven't removed my speech. V'akadosh Baruch Hu, kevan shelo hispalo b'kach, lo ratza lirfosa. And Hashem, what was the reason why Hashem didn't heal him? Because Hashem said, if you're not going to daven for it, well, then I'm not going to do it. So Moshe's complaining, look, I can't speak well. And he's waiting for Hashem to heal him. But Moshe didn't daven to Hashem to heal him. And Hashem, therefore, didn't heal him. Aval amar lo, anochi eyem picha v'osicha asher tedaber. Don't worry, Hashem kept on responding to him. I'll take care of you. I'm going to make sure that mission succeeds. Sheyu devarai asher asim b'picha b'milos nechonos shetucha levate b'hen yafe. Don't worry, I'm going to choose words that you'll have an easy time pronouncing. You know, no SH words, you know, nothing that you'll have trouble pronouncing. I'm going to make it nice and simple, Hashem says to Moshe. Don't worry, I got your back. But why didn't Hashem heal Moshe? Moshe telling us to Hashem, Hashem, you should have healed me. And the Ramban explains, because Moshe didn't daven for it. So Hashem says, don't worry, the mission's still going to succeed. Moshe, you're complaining that you won't succeed. I'm telling you it's going to succeed. But not because I'm going to heal you. Because you have not yet davened for it. You didn't request it. And that's an important point, which we're going to come back to shortly. But to just begin right now, I want to stress how often in life we think that we're not capable of something. Look, I cannot know Shas. We look at ourselves and we laugh. We look at Shas and we're like, look, I can't know it. I can't. It's really good. It's not for me. Like, I struggle over, like, reading one Amud of Gemara. I can't know Shas. Obviously, we can't expect it to happen right away, right immediately. Okay, that's not the way things work. But we have to put in our effort, and we have to try hard, and we have to shoot high, shoot very high, aim to really reach the stars, push ourselves to accomplish great things. But a very crucial element of that is not only to dream big and with those big dreams put in work, but it's also to daven for assistance. We can't sell ourselves short and say, look, I can never master it. And you know what? Even if I work hard, I can never master it. What about if you work hard and you daven? What if you ask Hashem to assist you? You know what? I'm pretty sure he can handle anything. Been what I've always been taught, right? That Hashem can manage anything. Throw your burden on Hashem. Cast that burden on him and say, Hashem, I want to grow. I want to become bigger. I want to fit your mission. You're telling me I can do it. You tell me I can know all of Gemara. You tell me I can know all of Shas and all of Tanakh and everything. You tell me that I have a mitzvah to learn all, Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't really believe you, Hashem. But what am I going to do about that? Am I going to try for it? Yes, Hashem says I could do it. Okay, fine, but I still don't really believe it. So what I should do also is dumb it to Hashem and say, look, Hashem, look, I don't think this makes any sense. I can't do this all. But I want to, because I know it's your service, and I know you want me to, and I'm begging you to help me accomplish that. You have to daven as part of your hishtadlus. You can't merely say, I'll do my hishtadlus, or I won't even do my hishtadlus, because there's no way it's possible. You have to try, and you have to shoot high, but you also have to daven. I want to come back to this in a moment, and I'll take your questions in a second, too. We're going to come back to this point in a minute. First, let's hear another answer the Ramban has to this question. Again, to rehash. Why didn't Hashem heal Moshe? If Moshe has a good point. Look, I don't want to go before Paro and embarrass you, Hashem, and like sound like, you know, like some, you know, I'm going to fumble through my words, and like I won't sound clear. Everyone's going to laugh at me. I don't want to make a chila, Hashem. So Hashem, help me out here. Remove my speech impediment. Well, Hashem did it, because Moshe never asked for it. That's Ramban's pshat number one. Why didn't Hashem heal Moshe? To make him be a good, you know, speaker? The answer is, according to Ramban number one, because Moshe didn't daven. Ramban's going to give us another pshat. You should know there's a famous pshat of the Ran, which is fascinating. I don't want to dwell on it now, but the Ran says in the drushas that the reason why Moshe was such a bad speaker and Hashem didn't heal him is because Hashem didn't want the leader of Klal Yisrael, the one who would give him the Torah, to be a charismatic, eloquent speaker. Why? Because you know nowadays everyone's like, oh yeah, Torah, did it really happen? They really received it from God. Well, imagine if Moshe was the best speaker you ever heard. We've all heard good speakers before. And sometimes, you know, you get convinced by them no matter what they say. Sometimes you get convinced by somebody because of the truth of his words. Sometimes you get convinced just because he said those words so nicely. So you know what everybody would have said? Moshe was the best speaker ever. And he convinced all you silly Jews that he had received this from God and that he was working all these miracles because he was just the biggest charlatan the world's ever known. The Torah testifies to us, and that's what the Ron says. The reason why Hashem didn't want to heal Moshe was that Hashem gave Moshe the speech impediment to say, this guy can barely speak straight. No one would ever believe him unless he was telling the truth.
That's the Ron, you said?
That's the Ron. The Ron is a beautiful pshat. To answer this question of the Rambam. But I don't want to focus on that now. Okay, it's a beautiful pshat. The Ron says in the drushes. Okay, so answer number one of the Ramban, though, is that Hashem didn't heal Moshe because Moshe didn't daven. Second answer of the Ramban. But Elish Mos Rava, in the Medrash, it says, Amru, Amar Lo, Im Ata Enach Ish Devarim, Al Tachash. Don't worry if you're not a man of words, that you're not to speak well. Don't worry, I created the males in the world. I'm the one that controls everything. And don't worry, I'm going to be with you. What's the pshat? What does the Medrash mean in this? The Ramban explains. Lefi Zen Nir Be'inai, Shelo Rotza Lehesir Mimenu, Kobe Rapeh, Bavur Shayubo Mimaisa Anais, She Sipru Rabosenu, She'ira Lo Imparo. Second answer to the question. The Ramban says, the reason why Hashem didn't want to remove Moshe's speech problem was because a miracle happened with it. You know the Medrash, I'm sure, or at least you've heard of it, or maybe when you were younger you heard of it. Medrash says as follows. When Moshe was growing up in Paro's palace, the Egyptians were all like suspicious of this Moshe character. Maybe they thought he was Jewish, maybe they didn't, but either way, you know, maybe he was very quick, and they like worried that, like, he was going to be raised maybe in Paro's house, the Redeemer, and they wanted to get rid of this guy. So Paro got nervous, and they did a test. They said, they put little baby infant Moshe in front of two items. One, a pile of burning hot coals, which nobody would touch. They're hot, they're scary looking. And the other one, beautiful diamonds and jewels. Now you might ask yourself, what kind of test is that? Come on, give me a break. Of course, the kid's going to go for the shiny jewels instead of the coals. Whatever, this was their test. To see whether or not Moshe was actually a threat. If he would go for the diamonds and the jewels, oh, that means that he's going to one day try to steal Pyro's throne or free the Jews or something bad, and we'd have to get rid of Moshe. If he goes for the coals, then this kid's an idiot. Right? We don't have nothing to fear from him. So Moshe was no idiot and started going for the jewels. And Hashem sends a malach who smacks Moshe's hand away from the diamonds to the coals. Moshe burns his hand, like every little baby does, sticks his burning hot fingers in his mouth, and somehow that burned, they were so hot, maybe he took the coal and actually put it in his mouth, he burned his mouth. And that's where Moshe got his speech problem, from that youth. The Ramban's quoting that measure. The Ramban says, why did Hashem not want to heal Moshe? Pirshumei Nisa, Zecher, to that Nase, to remember that amazing miracle which Hashem had worked in Moshe's youth, when Moshe was saved miraculously from doing something totally crazy. He should have just reached for the gold, like any baby would have. Instead, he reached for the boiling hot coal and burns himself. Hashem wanted us to remember that miracle. And therefore, Hashem did not remove his speech impediment. Fascinating. What's the amkus? What's the depth of that pshat? I think it's pasha. You just have to think about it for a second. Why is that so important? Why would Hashem not want to remove the miracle? Because, like, there's this thing, it was a miracle item. Hashem didn't want to remove the miracle that occurred there. I don't know. It was pretty painful, probably, for Moshe. Moshe probably still sounded dumb. So why don't you, like, you know, I don't know, do something else. Why did Moshe have to burn his mouth? So I think the amkus here, the depth that we can really access here, is to show us that this miracle was not just any miracle, that Moshe went and burned his mouth in that scenario here. What was significant about this miracle? It was that even in the lion's den, even when Moshe was surrounded by enemies, Paro, who could have done whatever he wanted to anybody in the entire world, his soldiers could have killed him. He killed hundreds of Jewish babies and bathed in their blood, right? This was an evil, powerful king who was suspicious of this baby. The baby was in the king's palace. He was surrounded by enemies in every which way, and he was defenseless. You can't get more defenseless than an infant. And the test was totally stacked against him. Everything was going against Moshe. Moshe was 1,000,000,000% about to die. And Hashem saved him. Hashem had a master plan. Moshe, if he chose right, if he lived up to his full potential, was going to be the redeemer of Klal Yisrael. And even at that fragile, delicate young age, where it seemed like there was no hope of him surviving that situation, Hashem took care of him. Hashem was guiding the destiny of Klal Yisrael and Moshe in specific at that early, early stage in that horrible, horrible situation. Hashem was guiding him along. That kind of miracle and that sort of memory, Hashem did not want to erase. Okay, fine, it would have made Moshe a better speaker. You know what? We have other ways to solve that. He'll send Aaron instead, or Hashem will put the right words in his mouth. But Hashem did not want to erase that miracle. That miracle was too critical. And a message for all of us. In our own lives, we're being guided. And Hashem is protecting us and helping us. And we always have to try. Obviously, you have to make the right choices in life. But realize that there's a hashkacha which is guiding us, hopefully, to fulfill our potential if we do the right thing. And on a deeper level, it's true for all of Klal Yisrael. We might think that the world is going to the dogs. The culture around us is worse than ever. The people around us are worse than ever. We are worse than ever. We're sunk in the internet. We're sunk in all these terrible issues which have hit our community, which we feel like they've never had before. You know, I'm pretty sure every generation always felt like, oh, this was the worst things I've ever been in. Somehow, Baruch Hashem has guided us through. So Hashem will continue to guide us through. And Mirat Hashem, we will succeed and we will have that ultimate geula. And we have to realize that even when things seem so, so dark, Hashem is guiding us with his guiding hand through history, ultimately leading to his master plan's fulfillment. So that's the second answer about gifts to this. Why did Hashem not want to erase this? Why did Hashem not want to remove Moshe's speech impediment? Because it was such an important miracle, something that we can all take a very important mussar from for the future of the world. Hashem wanted this thing to stay, this item of a miracle. And now I want to conclude with turning back to the first pshat, as the Ramban himself tells. But the Ramban prefers, the pshat was that Hashem goes on to say to Moshe, who gives man the ability to speak? Hashem wasn't just telling Moshe, like, don't worry, I can make you say good words. Hashem was saying something more. I could heal you. All you have to do is daven. You just have to daven. That's what he was saying to him. And Moshe didn't. Moshe was saying to Hashem, he was so busy, Hashem, I can't fulfill your mission. You want me to do this mission, but I can't. I can't, because I can't speak properly. Did you ask Hashem to heal you? There was a fantastic story about Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, right? Zatzal, who just passed away. Gadol Ador. Fantastic story. About Menahel of a certain yeshiva katana who had come to him. He wanted to speak to him. And he's like, look, there's this problem boy in our class. We decided, like, there's nothing more we can do for him. We tried, you know, sending him to the right therapist. We tried speaking to his parents. We tried handling him. He's just being a disruption for everybody. He's dragging the whole class down. You know, sometimes you have to, you know, cut off the thorns in order to make sure that the overall flower can blossom. And I think that we're out of any hope. And he discussed it with Rav Steinman at length. And eventually Rav Steinman said, look, you know what? From the way you're describing the situation, he really does seem that there's nothing to be done left. You're right, I guess you have to. Sometimes, you know, in rare circumstances, that's the right thing to do, to expel a kid, even though you might be putting him out on the street and who knows what's going to happen to him. But for the sake of the cloud, sometimes you have to do that. But just before you go, I want to ask you one question. What's the boy's mother's name? I want to daven for him. Beautiful, right? The Gadol Yisrael. Thinking about this poor kid who's going to go off and, you know, be kicked out of yeshiva. He wants to daven for him. So Rabbi Aaron Leib said, I want to know his name. What was his mother's name? I want to daven for him. I want to have him in mind in my tefillah. So that way, maybe this boy will have a hope. The Menahel said, I don't know. Menahel said, I'm not sure. Rabbi Steinman yelled at him. You don't know his mother's name? And you want to kick him out of yeshiva? You think there's nothing left to be done and you haven't been davening for the boy? There's nothing left to be done and you haven't davened for him? Are you crazy? Sometimes we think that, like, oh, you know, I did everything I can possibly do. Anything I can possibly imagine. I figured out every little bit of hishtalos I had to do here. All right, things aren't working out. Okay, so I guess it's game over. Did you daven? Right, there's another story. I'll tell you one more story on this one. Right, about Rav Yashiv. That one of the famous women speakers of our day, right, and writers, went to Rav Yashiv, and I saw this in the Rebbe's Machlis book. So she, not Rebbe Zemachlis herself, but another famous Jewish woman, went to Rav Yashiv during one of the times, I think it was during one of the intifadas, and she was so worried about her family, she wanted to know if she should take them somewhere else, should they go to America, should they leave Yerushalayim, whatever it was exactly, I don't remember the details. That, you know, to take care of themselves. And she's like, I don't know, should I do any of these things, or should I just daven? Rav Yashiv turned to her and says, Rock Lispalo? That's like the only thing I should do. Like, okay, like, you know, or I guess I can daven. It's like, there's only tefillah. It's the only thing you can do. Everything else is just the shtalos. The only thing where you can directly engage Hashem and say, Hashem, please change what seems natural, what's possible within the realms of normal, within Derech Teva. Change that. Help me accomplish your will. Help me be safe. Help me do that which is right. You have to daven. And Moshe, in this scenario, and sometimes we do the same thing. That's what I want to touch on one more time just to highlight. Is that we do that to ourselves. We sell ourselves short. We say, I can never be like that guy who's the top of the class, the top of the yeshiva, that guy who's been learning for years. I can never be like that. I can never grow in Yiddishkeit. I have my own issues. I have my own baggage. I can't handle this. You know, I've got my problems. And real problems sometimes. You know, maybe you are a slow learner. You know, well, let's grant that. Maybe you are a slow learner. I can tell you in my own lifetime, I've seen people, and I'm not even learning for that long, right? But in my own lifetime, I've witnessed people who I thought were just, you know, not cut out for learning, and people had bad midos, who changed, who literally changed over their time in yeshiva, who changed over their time out of yeshiva, and grew to places where far surpassed me, and I'm like, whoa, this guy's pretty cool. That's like a upright miracle. And I'm sure that a lot of it was his effort. I'm sure that these people definitely tried hard. But you know what I'm also sure? They davened. They davened. They said, Hashem, I can't do this alone. I can't do anything alone. I need you. And you davened for that. And Moshe, had he davened, instead of needing somebody else to, I don't know, to come along and help and speak out, the Ramban's telling us. And Moshe davened, Hashem would have given it. And Hashem got upset. In the end, the Ramban ends off. Gam efshar sheyeh remaz mi v'yechar af Hashem Moshe. And Hashem got upset at Moshe. Shelo ratz l'arf oso v'shel fal karchal. Hashem was upset at Moshe. And he sent him away. He said, look, you're going on the mission. That's it. I've had enough of it. Because Moshe should have davened. He missed that opportunity. And didn't daven for that help to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said, fine, you know what, I'm not going to do it then. I'm going to have to change the plan a little bit because you did not daven to reach your full potential.